LifePoint Church, it's official. We've officially made it to the one-year mark, past the one-year mark of a pandemic. I don't know if that's something to like celebrate, clap over, like we made it, we're here. But man, it's been nothing short of wild this past year. Like I don't really know how else to describe it. We've kind of talked about it each week, but I mean, just the reality is this has been an exhausting and challenging and frustrating and whatever else you want to say about it kind of year. I'll leave that up to you, and I won't judge you because it's been that kind of year. But honestly, when we think about it, this year has led to a lot of different things. A lot of good things, honestly, some. A lot of bad things, right? For a lot of us, we've been able to slow down a bit. We've been forced to spend more time with our families, whether you wanted to or not. You've been stuck in a house with them. It's caused us to reevaluate some things in our lives, just to look at a lot of things, but it's also created this situation of a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of loss, a lot of confusion, a lot of frustration, honestly, a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. It's like birthed incredible emotion within us, and it's been super challenging. And as I've said each week, and I really want you to remember this, like this has been a year and it's going to continue where you need to give yourself some grace because there is no roadmap for this. Like we have navigated this year really just in a lot of unknown. And a lot of people have done a phenomenal job of it. And you know, some not so much, but it's just been a year where we need to step back and just say, you know, okay, this is what it is, you know, but it's time to move forward. Right, we know a lot more now, and there's still a lot to know, but we're in this situation now where we can honestly say it's time to reset, and it's time to press play again, right? We've got to begin to move forward, and whatever that looks like for you and your specific situation in life, but we've got to begin to move forward, and one of the ways that I think that will help you to do that, will help each and every one of us to do that, is as we've talked about throughout this series, is focusing in on our purpose, right? It's really key in us being able to move forward and refocus once again. But see, the problem is what we saw last week. When I started speaking last week, I started with a question and asked how many people had struggled with knowing their purpose or doubting their purpose or just feeling like they didn't have any purpose over the past year. And pretty much everyone in here and people that I've talked with outside of here that were online have questioned purpose, specifically their purpose. So that's the problem in this, is that purpose is going to help us to move forward, but we've kind of been spiraling like out of control with it, not knowing what our purpose is. And so that's why we've been spending the time the past several weeks on this series called Find Your Purpose. Because seriously, I believe that this will help us to begin to step forward and regain our confidence and get this thing going again. For you individually, for us as a church collectively, and as a community, this knowing our purpose is going to be huge. So in the first week of this series, we talked about the importance of first and foremost knowing who you are, right? We talked about identity. We talked about the fact that if you want to find your purpose in life, you first have to actually know who you are. Like that is critical. It is super important for you to know who you are. And the beautiful thing is for those of us that are connected to Jesus, right, that have a personal relationship with him, your identity is incredible. You have an incredible identity. See, in Christ, because of Jesus, you're no longer dead, but you're alive. You're no longer damaged or hopeless. You are a masterpiece. You're no longer far away from God, but he has brought you near to him. That is your identity in Jesus, and it's a beautiful thing. And it's a jumping off point for us to understand our purpose. So in knowing who we are, our identity, right? Last week we talked more about your individual purpose, which from scripture we see is very simple. That your purpose is actually that you were made new through Jesus to do good things. Right? Think about how the world would be right now if Christ followers really just embraced that right there as their purpose. Like, No more detail to it. Just you were made new through Jesus to simply do good things. It would be a game changer. But as we read on scripture, we see that we are created to do good things, not for our own good, but for the good of others. And that we are created to do good things, not for our own glory, but for the glory of God, to celebrate him, to worship him, and to point other people to him so that they can find their identity in him. That's what our individual purpose is. And so today, in this third and final week of this series, I kind of want to shift gears a bit, and I want us to start talking a little bit about the church. More specifically speaking, I want to talk about your purpose as the church. You see, because just like with our individual purpose, like in week one, we said, you've got to know who you are, right? You've got to have a sense of identity to know who you are. It's the same thing with your purpose as the church. We have to first know what the church is and what the church is not. So generally speaking, the church, just so that you're aware, I think most people know this in here, and that's been a part of LifePoint Church because I've talked about it quite a bit, but just to recap, the church is not a building. The church is not a name, like a single church name. It's not that. It's not a place that you go. The church is not a video that you watch on Facebook or YouTube, even though we do that, and we do gather here. But that's not at the core what the church is. It's not something that you just go and do to check it off your good Christian checklist. Oh, went to church today. Good, check, keep it moving. That's not what the church is. None of that is the true identity of the church. You see, the church is you. The church is me. The church is all of God's people united, doing life together. That's what the church is. Now, LifePoint Church is just one expression of the global church, of the body of Christ. It's just an expression of it. Because the church is all of God's people working together to fulfill one common mission, one God-given collective mission. That's what the church is. That's why the church exists. You see, what God is doing and going to do in the world today, he's going to do it through his people. That's how he's choosing to operate. He's going to do it through his people. He's going to do it through his church. That's what he designed the church to do and to be. It was his plan. He's going to use you to fulfill the mission. And for the church, for you and for me, since we are the church, we have a very clear mission, and we see it in Scripture. When you jump into the New Testament, Jesus clearly lays out and spells out exactly what our mission is as the church. Again, not just LifePoint Church, the entire church. All believers, all of God's people. It's a twofold mission. And so, like I said, we need to understand our identity before we talk about our individual purpose as the church. So our mission as the church, one, is the Great Commission. It's the Great Commission. We see some of Jesus' final words recorded of his time here on earth before ascending to heaven. He said this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. This is our overall mission. This is the last words that Jesus said, right? He said, therefore, go. Not, therefore, begin to huddle and gather all the time and don't ever, get outside your bubble. No, he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then he said these beautiful words, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is our mission. Right? We call it the Great Commission. As the church, we are to go. Yes, there's a component. We are to gather together in community. We see that all throughout the book of Acts. But they did that to go, to reach people, to make disciples of all nations. That means make disciples of all people. That means people that you disagree with. That means people that are hard to love. We all have those people. And if you don't, guess what? You're probably that person. It's kind of the way it works. But we are to make disciples of all nations, of all people. That is part of our mission. It's a beautiful mission, but we are called to do that as the church, which means you and me and us as a whole. The second part of our mission, again, I said it's a twofold mission, is what I call the Great Command. And it's found in Matthew chapter 22. Let me jump over here if you could pull that up. 22, 36 through 40. My iPad, every once in a while, I swear, it's like every Sunday at one point in time, just wants to go blank. Like technology. I need to figure this out, but I don't ever get a chance to like go at it. So I'm just going to stare at it for a second, and it's going to be a little awkward. No, I'm just kidding. Here it goes. The Great Command. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. This is a common passage of scripture that I share because it's one of my favorite. But it is, again, it's a part of our mission. We have to keep going back to this and back to this to remind and refresh ourselves of what really matters. You see, here we find Jesus was being challenged by one of the religious leaders of the day, one of the religious elite. And he was trying to trip Jesus up so that he would say something wrong so that they could then arrest him and basically get rid of him. They were trying to stop his ministry. And so one of them says, "Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law?" And Jesus, like, very calm, very collective. I love it because he's really witty and he knows how to flip the script on it. So they're trying to trap him and trick him. And so he stops it and he uses this not as only just an opportunity to answer the question very well, I may add, but he uses it as an opportunity to cast a vision for his people. To say, this is what you're supposed to do. Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Jesus said that. To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind is the first and greatest commandment. Then the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So as simply as I can say it, as the church, right, you and I, we are commanded to love God and love people. Love God and love people. LifePoint, this is our mission as the church. The Great Commission, make disciples of all nations. How about we start in Louisville? How about you start in your neighborhood? Make disciples of all nations. And then the Great Command to love God and love people. Again, that means all people. Not the people you just want to love. Not the people that's easy to love because they agree with you. All people. And this is it. That is our mission. That's what we are called to do. That is the identity of the church. It's what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. And the reality is this, is if you're ever going to actually be this, collectively, right, as the church, you've got to bring it down to an individual level, and you have to start doing it yourself. See, the church can't fulfill the mission if the people who are the church are not living it out in their individual lives, if they are not on mission themselves, if they don't understand their purpose as the church. But see, once we know that, then we can begin to fulfill the mission collectively. But it starts with you. It starts with me, like us individually, being on mission and doing the things that we're supposed to do, living our purpose as the church. So then, what is our purpose, individual purpose, as the church? Right? Well, you're overall individual purpose, right, that we talked about last week, is to do good things, right? To do good things. Well, I would say that the Great Commission and the Great Command are definitely good things that we should do, right? That's why it's a part of our mission. But as the church, we also find that each and every one of us have a very unique and very important part to play in this overall mission. Like individually, you have a unique part to play and a very needed part to play. And that is your specific purpose as the church. And to help us to understand and break this down a little further, I want to read like a good portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I normally don't read this much scripture, one, because I'm not a fan of reading, and two, you all can read yourselves. But we're going to do it because I think it's really important. So, yeah, go figure. We're going to read scripture in church. It's a beautiful thing, right? So let's go ahead and get into it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we see here is Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about spiritual gifts and the importance of these spiritual gifts. So we're going to start in verse 4. Paul says, "They are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. They are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. They are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, is the same God at work." You see, he's starting this off by helping us to understand that everyone, one, has a gift. That you uniquely have a gift that is given to you by the Spirit of God who's living within you if you are a believer, right? If you have confessed and believed and have that connected relationship with Jesus, Holy Spirit lives within you. Right? And if we are tapping into that and we are allowing him to have full access of our lives, you're going to see fruit from that spiritual gift that he has given you, that he has birthed within you. All of it. And they're different. They're unique. My gift is not the same as your gift. Your gift is not the same as the gift of the person beside you. They're all very unique, but they're very needed. And the beautiful thing he's reminding people of here is even though you're different, right? The gifts are different. They all come from the same Spirit. They come from the same God. And then he's about to show you that it's for the same purpose, right? So let's read on, jumping down to verse 12. It says, "Just as the body," and this is one of my, again, a favorite analogy of mine where he's using the analogy of the body, right? The physical body to represent the body of Christ, which is the church. And so he says, "Just as the body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free," basically saying, regardless of who you are, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. It's the Holy Spirit, not a spirit. Relax, right? "Even so, the body is made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, do I not belong to the body?' It would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed..." This is one of my favorite parts of this passage. "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Think about that. He placed the parts of the body, again, not the physical body, the church, exactly where he wanted them to be. Sounds an awful lot like he's saying you're a masterpiece. "God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor." Then jumping down, skipping a few, Tyler, he says, if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. He says, now you, this is where he's breaking it down. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You see, the hand can't be eyes. Even if it wants to be, it can't be. It's not going to function that way. And the hand is just as important as the eyes. All the parts of the body come together to make it healthy and effective. And if one is off or one is missing, it makes things challenging. It makes things difficult. Right? It's not fun. We all probably have experienced that. Even if you have all of, you know, all your parts and everything, like if you fall and you get hurt and one's like messed up, you're sore, you can say, everything's not clicking on all cylinders, right? I'll go ahead and confess. I wiped out on a hoverboard yesterday, on my nephew's hoverboard, you know? I was on it, I was rocking it, I was doing great, and then I didn't even think about how am I going to get off this thing. Oh, I got off. But it wasn't the way I wanted to. But my hip and you know my neck and everything is really sore. But you think about the body. That is the church. And it takes everyone, every unique gift, every type of person, all your different wirings and your little quirks and everything about you come together as a whole, a beautiful, perfect masterpiece to fulfill those two missions we talked about. The mission and the purpose of the church. So you, your unique purpose as the church is to operate within your gifting. That's what you are called to do. That is your purpose as the church. And again, when we can actually operate within our gifting, man, it will be a game changer. Our city would look different. Our state would look different if churches and God's people actually lived this way. If we viewed ourselves as the beautiful masterpiece that we are, how God wired us, and we operated from that gift. You see, your gift is necessary. And your gift is no more important or no less important than anyone else's. See, I've been in church my whole life. I grew up in church, and I always sat out there thinking, looking at the pastor or the youth pastor or the church leaders and thought, man, their gifts are so much better than mine. And that is so false. Because we read here, 1 Corinthians, right? No one part is better or more important than the other. If one part suffers, we all suffer. One part is honored, we all celebrate. We need each other. We are better together, right? As the body of Christ. Not just LifePoint, all believers. We've got to begin to operate that way. But it starts with us understanding our part to play. Embracing our gifting. And living and operating from that. But see, here's the problem. Herein lies the problem is that we are the church. Right? So how we fulfill this mission depends on us and how we move within our gifting. But see, far too many believers today have this false and skewed view of what church is. They may not say, okay, yeah, I know the church isn't a building, but they're really not viewing the church as the way God designed it. Far too many believers have bought this false mentality that the church is something to do, someone to go to, something to be a part of. Which community is part of it? Again, Book of Acts, it's fire, it's so good. But we've got to understand that our identity and our purpose as the church is to do and to be, not just to say we go to church. We have to be the church. Far too many Christ followers have bought the lie from the enemy that they are worthless. They might know their gifts, but they feel worthless, or they're told that they're worthless, or they're not enough, or they're not smart enough to actually be the church, or because of their past, they can't recover from it. that they have nothing to offer. Or maybe that their gift, like I said, isn't as important as someone else's in the church or someone else's that they see. Or maybe they don't like their gift because it's not as, you know, popular or whatever it might be out in the open, and they want a different gift so they don't operate within their gift. See, we all have operated in these lies and these falsehoods about what the church is for selfish reason, or because the enemy has been whispering us and we're buying the lie. The ultimate result of this are Christ followers who are off mission. And when Christ followers are off mission, the church is off mission. Because we are the church. And it creates these communities of ineffective, stale, stagnant, off-mission places and people who call themselves believers. And it tends to push people who need Jesus away. Because we're not making disciples of all nations. Because we're not loving God and loving people. We're off mission. But it starts with your purpose as the church. You can only be responsible for you. So we have to begin to embrace our purpose. So maybe, though, you are a Christ follower, right? And maybe as this Christ follower, you've just kind of lost your way as it relates to your purpose as the church. You've just kind of lost track. You're off mission. You're kind of on the sidelines as a result. Kind of floundering a little bit, floundering with purpose. But the reality is that you're just not in the game. And if that's you, I want to give you two very practical, and I know whenever I start, you know, pastors start saying, I got two things to say, and it's towards, you know, it's been a little while. It's fine. We're almost done, I swear. But I got two things, practical things that I want to share with you that I really believe will help you as you begin to try to rediscover your purpose as the church, or maybe claim your purpose as the church for the very first time, because again, you do have purpose. Your gift matters, and your gift is needed. So it's so important for the success of us fulfilling our God-given mission for you to understand purpose. The first thing that I want you to do if you find yourself in that situation, or if you ever find yourself in that situation, I want you to go back and identify your gifting. Right? You've got to identify what your actual gifting is. Because again, as followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And if he lives within you, he's giving you a spiritual gift. That's him working in and through you. But you've got to understand what that gift is. And I want you to not overcomplicate that. Like seriously, don't overcomplicate this. If you don't know what your gifting is, what your spiritual gift is, I want you just to take it to Jesus. And I want you to ask him, Jesus, what is my spiritual gift that you've given me? Like what is my gift in the church? What am I supposed to specifically, uniquely do? You begin to ask him that. And make sure that you seek your gifting. See, for the longest time, I was focused on, I'm such a perfectionist, and honestly, I'm learning more about myself, and I love to seek the approval of everyone. I want people to think that I'm doing well, and as a result of that, I want to act like I can do everything. But the reality is even though I might be able to do a lot of things, I don't do a lot of things, some things well, because I don't like them. I'm not really good at it. I can get it done if it needs to be done, but I hate it. I put it off, I delay it, because they're not my gifts. So we need to find our gift, your unique gift, right? You've got to identify it. So begin to spend time with Jesus, seek him, pray, ask him, read his word. While you're doing that, I want you to pay attention to the things that are going on around you, right? I call that living wide awake, right? Asking Jesus, like, hey, show me something. Show me what my purpose is, and then actually look for it. Watch as these desires start to bubble up within you, these passions, these things that you want to do, these things that your heart start to break over. It's him showing you your gifting, your passions. I promise you, if you will be diligent in living wide awake and spending time connecting with Jesus, asking him what your gifting is, he's going to give it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. Which brings us to our second point. Second thing that I want you to begin to do is that you need to actually live and operate within this gifting. that's going to mean that you might have to start saying no to some things. I'm going to say that again. That might mean that you might need to say no to some things that you're currently doing. You might need to start doing some new things. Or maybe it's exactly where you're at in your sweet spot, but you actually have to start living it. See, I don't know. I don't want to get into too much of this, but I think there's a difference in doing something and living in something. You can do things all day long. It goes back to your motives. But when you live it, you say, man, this is my gifting. This is my spiritual gift that God has birthed within me, and I'm embracing it, and I'm living in it, and I'm operating in it, and I'm moving forward in it. And that doesn't just mean, because again, this is your purpose as the church. But again, the church isn't a building. It's not a name. Yes, I want you to live in your gifting here at Life Point Church, because that's going to allow us to continue to reach more people, whatever your gifting is. It's going to remove the burden off some people that are operating in things that are not their gifts, because someone, they're waiting for someone to step up and say, hey, that's my jam, I got this. And then they're going to be unleashed in that. Yes, I want you to do that, but you are the church. So as you operate in your purpose as the church, that means doing it in your neighborhood. That means doing it in your own home with your own family. That means doing it in your job, in your workplace, with your friends, at the grocery store, driving down the expressway, Jesus help me. We are the church. So if our purpose is to live and operate within our gifting, that means all day, every day. We live it. We breathe it. It's our purpose. Knowing your gifting, living and operating with your gifting, that is your purpose as the church. And when you do that, when we all begin to do that, we start taking a big chunk out of this mission that God has left us with. The great commission, the great command. Make disciples of all nations. Love God, love people. We begin to make progress. And we don't do it for this. Remember last week, it's not about the good of ourselves, it's for the good of others. Not for our glory, it's for the glory of God. So we do this so that we can bring more people into the kingdom of heaven, so that people will know Jesus as their Savior. Lives can be changed, hope can be birthed, and we can actually love people that need to be loved. That's what it means to be the church, and you have a part to play. It says God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. That means he has given you the gift that he wants you to have. The ball's in your court. Are you going to acknowledge it, receive it, and live from it? Or are you just going to push it away and be on the sidelines? And I pray that you begin to identify your gifting and live from it. Operate from it. I promise you, it may make some life changes. It may be a struggle at first, but you are going to be unleashed and happier, and you're going to see amazing fruit like never before, because you're going to actually allow the Holy Spirit to live in and through you. Because again, what God is doing in the world today, and there's a lot of things that need to be done in the world today, he's going to use his people to do it, his church. That's you. So therefore, you are needed, and not only are you needed, but you have beautiful, unique, God-given purpose. And my challenge for you today, in the weeks, months, and years to come, is to begin to truly live within that purpose. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you so much for dying for us, that we didn't deserve it. You love us so much that you took our place and made a way for us to be right with the Father. And Jesus, we just want to say thank you. And not only do you provide that for us, but you take it so much further by giving us purpose, by entrusting us with this beautiful mission. Jesus, you know we're not capable of it. why you give us your Holy Spirit. And we're so thankful for that. And may we begin to embrace our purpose to fulfill your mission that you called us to. May you give us wisdom, direction as we do it. Maybe you're here this morning and for you, you're struggling with purpose just because you've never truly stepped over that line of faith. You've never come to know Jesus as your Savior. And if that's you, you are at the right place this morning. Whether you're here physically at Life Point Church or you're watching online at some point in time. We've all been there. We all fall short. But the fact of the matter is that God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die and raise again for you. And scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you'll be saved. It's about confessing and believing. Not like a certain magic prayer or anything like that or coming forward. Wherever you're at, it's about calling out to Jesus and your heart connecting with him. It's you confessing, like truly owning the fact that you have flaws and that you're not perfect and that you need a Savior and that he is the Savior, the one and only. And you confess and you believe that. And if you're ready to do that, you feel that tug, that leading there, just call out to him however he leads you. Just confess and believe. If you have questions, I'd love to talk with you after the service, or you can leave a comment or send us a direct message. Someone from the team will get back with you ASAP. But we just want to walk with you as you begin to discover Jesus, to know him as your Savior. But maybe for you, you have that personal relationship with Jesus, and you have for some time. You've kind of lost purpose, whether it be just your individual purpose of just life in general, or maybe it's your purpose as the church. Maybe for you, you've been longing to have some other gift, right? You have this beautiful, unique gift that you know is there, but yet for some reason, you're looking at all these other people's gifts and you wish you had that. Man, stop. Don't fall into the comparison trap. It's toxic, ugly, pointless. The Spirit of God has given you a unique gift. Own it. Live in it. It's your purpose. And when you do that, you're going to be unleashed like never before. As we close out in prayer, Jared and the team lead. I just want you to spend some time. I want you to reflect on whether or not you're truly living your purpose. Your purpose is the church, living from your gifting. Maybe you don't really know what your gifting is. During this time, I just want you to ask Jesus to show you that or to confirm that you're living in your gifting. Just spend time with him and ask him. Listen for his voice. Jesus, again, we love you. I pray that you would speak truth and life over each person that's here and that's watching online. That you would love them. May they feel your presence like never before. For those that don't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that you would remove barriers, whatever it is that's keeping them from coming to you, to where they can just lay it all down and that they could come to you and know you as Savior. Jesus, I pray that that would be the case today for them. And for those that know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would understand their part to play as the church, their purpose, that it's a beautiful purpose, and it's just as important as everyone else's. And it's needed, that they are truly needed in your kingdom, in your church, to fulfill your mission. We cannot do it alone. We are better together, to do life together, to do your work together, to make disciples, to love you, and to love people. May that be what we're about. May we use our gifting to accomplish it. Jesus, speak that over their lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all so much for being here with us once again for Life Point Online. If this is your first time here with us, thank you all so much for being here and hanging out with us and checking out LifePoint Church. If you'd like more information or if you have any questions, you can either drop a comment below or you can visit us on our website or any of our social media platforms. And if you have questions, just go ahead and ask, and someone from our team will get back with you as soon as we possibly can. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just simply want to give to LifePoint Church, you could head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. You can also begin to text to give by texting the amount that you want to give to the number 84321. But however you choose to give, we are just so thankful and humbled by the fact that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us today. We hope that you'll join us in connecting and doing life online throughout the week. And until next Sunday, we'll see you later. Have a great one.